following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. Every family's story is different, but there are only two types of customers I get at PutThemInASong.com. You have the good gift givers, and you have the bad ones. They either say, I've always given unique and thoughtful gifts, so ordering a custom song would be perfect. Or they say, my loved one always one-ups me in the gift-giving department, so I really wanted to do something special and unique and surprising. In this episode, you'll hear exactly why I always say, you have a better voice than you think. This customer and her husband admitted she always had one foot in the bad gift-giving department. And you'll understand this pun a little later, but she knocked the socks off of him. This is Season 2, Episode 4, Go With You.
You start hearing the actual words, and it's like, wait a second, this is not just a song. But that was...
I kind of lost you guys in there, but you came back when you said, damn, you came a long way from a pair of socks. So I think I could probably piece it together.
Call is now being recorded.
I was going out. I was actually going to go away for the weekend, and my friends were going to a club in the city, and a place called the Jukebox on the east side of Manhattan. And so I went and met them. It was one of our friends' birthday, and Lena was actually on a date there with someone. And I managed to weasel in a conversation during her date, and eventually we ended up going out.
Yeah, I was a terrible date. I two-timed him on my date.
You snooze, you lose.
Then I ditched the other guy, and Bob and I started going out maybe a couple of months later.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like an immediate, okay, now we're going to date kind of thing?
Well, you know, it was summer, so we couldn't, like, be exclusive during the summer.
we were enjoying the good of the good old days.
So who called up who after summer was over?
Okay, so I refused to give my number out to anybody, but I took Guy's number, so I took Bobby's number, and then, I called you when? In October? We met in July, and then in October I called you, but you were away.
You got my roommate.
And his roommate actually took a message, and then I didn't hear from you for a little while, because I don't know if he gave you the message, right?
Yeah, it was just whatever.
Yeah. So then, you know, probably I'd say late October we ended up going out. So we kind of just did local stuff, went to each other's apartments, had dinner, watched TV, you know, just hung out with friends. So it wasn't like an official first date.
Okay.
You know, we really didn't have like, you know, this romantic dinner somewhere, you know, like a memorable first date. We did not have that. Just always together.
What attracted you to Bob?
You know what I don't know, his blue eyes, he has beautiful blue eyes. He was just very kind, very attentive. He was very handsome, just a nice guy, just a really nice guy.
Well, Bob, she showed me that slideshow she put together, and Bob has quite the mustache going on.
That's the 80s.
The only thing is I'm feeling the hair I have left. the back counts?
What attracted you to her?
She's hot.
All right.
I mean, let's be honest. Physical attraction. I mean, what attracted me? I saw her outside the club going in. I thought she was good looking. But post just visual, I would have to say the most outstanding thing was the immediate comfort level.
Yeah.
Like, easy to talk to. Didn't feel like you needed to try or put on anything, just be yourself. And that was, you know, it was the 80s. That was not that normal.
All right. You want to expound on that?
It was a lot of, let's put it this way. if there was an overabundance of anything during the 80s, it was attitude. She didn't have... She had a presence, a very definite presence, but not an attitude of, you know, pretentiousness.
How long were you guys dating before you got married?
It was just about 2 years.
Until we were actually married, yeah.
Okay.
We got married in June, and we met in July, so it would have been 2 years, and, you know, if we waited another month, but it was about 2 years.
Okay.
The day we first met at the club, so when we actually got married.
Bob, how did you pop the question?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it, you know, to be very honest with you. We discussed it, and then, what did I say? I just gave you the ring after dinner.
You said, this is burning a hole in my pocket or something?
No, it's Tiny Night.
Yeah.
You know, ever hear how diamonds are like referred to, or jewelry is referred to as ice? Do you ever hear that expression?
Mm-hmm.
How about an ice for dessert? I made her dinner, and then, you know, whatever. It was corny. It was nothing that
today
you'd write a book about. You know what I mean? But it was just more. It was more the finalization of actually presenting a ring.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't have these very flamboyant, you know, pre-staged engagement events where you have like professional photographers around, you have your whole family around, right. You have it in some air. It wasn't like that back then. You asked my dad first.
Lena's family is extremely, extremely Italian and very traditional. I guess to say they have no sense of humor would be unfair, but let's just say it's quite different than mine. We didn't want our wedding to be taken over by anybody. We didn't want a lot of the pressures that you see a lot of people experience when they're getting married to sort of overwhelm us all. So we had pretty much set up everything prior to even telling the whole world. Even like the place that we were going to get married and the date and the whole nine. The place that we really liked was only available probably a little earlier than we had planned. So the timing was like 9 months and 2 weeks or something like that from when we were telling them. So I made a joke about the whole 9 month thing that went over like a lead balloon. There was absolutely no laughter whatsoever. But I found it amusing. So that's, you know.
Yeah, they did it. My dad did not find it amusing.
Do you like his sense of humor?
I do. Sometimes it's a little tiring because, you know, it is funny, but I don't really laugh because I'm just so used to it. And he goes, what? No laughing? Do you get it? I get it.
Well, I guess it's tolerable in small doses.
Yeah. I always tell my wife, well, you're not sophisticated enough to get my humor.
Well, I always say, well, the first three things I heard of, I didn't say. That was like the last choice.
No, he's very quick-witted.
There's one story, like after we were married and we had our first child, and she was probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks old, and she cried, you know.
All the time.
19 out of 24 hours for a while. And at one point, Lena got completely and totally exhausted. I mean, she was done, finished, done. 3 o'clock in the morning, she's like, you gotta take Alexis. You gotta get her to sleep. So I'm sleeping in shorts, no shirt, no nothing in our house in at the beach in Jersey. And I just put her in the car seat and started driving up and down Ocean Road, up and down, back and forth. And I passed the same state trooper like, I don't know, 10, 15 times. Now, the car was registered in Ohio because we were trying to save money on insurance. We lived in New York primarily, but we had a place in Jersey, a summer house. I have almost no clothes on, just a pair of shorts, no shoes, no shirt, no wallet. This guy pulls me over, lights and siren at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wakes the lights up.
And I said to him, I probably wasn't very nice about it. I said, you wake up my daughter, I'm going to kill you. I was not happy that he put the siren on. I mean, pull me over, that's fine. Long story short, he's like, how do I know that's really your daughter? I said, buddy, if I'm a kidnapper, I'm the best prepared kidnapper in the world. Will you look at all the crap in this car? So anyway, he still doesn't believe me. I said, look, my house is 5 blocks from here. How about we just go to my house? You can stay in front of me or behind me, whatever. I'm not going to go anywhere with a baby in the car. I'll get my license and we'll settle it. We drive back to the house. Lights are still on, but as we come into the driveway, he puts the siren on again. Oh, Lena has fallen asleep on the back porch, finally, after probably like 4 days, right? And she looks at me as I'm walking in to get the license and says, "What'd you do?" I'm like, "What I do? I robbed a bank. What could I have possibly done?" I said to the guy, at the time, there was a very popular Honda commercial where the father would take the kid in the car and drive him around and get him to go to sleep. I said to the cop, "Have you never seen that Honda commercial ever?" But he was a young guy. He didn't have any kids.
That's what I was telling her. I said, I really enjoyed that story, but that cop definitely didn't have any kids.
No, he did not. And the other thing that you put in the song, which was pretty funny, that we did, was the switcheroo. First of all, we didn't want our kids in daycare. Second of all, we couldn't afford daycare. And we both worked. And I'm a nurse, and I work nights, and he worked days. Or if he worked nights because he was an electrician, then I would work days. So we would just, you know, meet at the
rest stop on the highway. It was like a gas station and a comfort station. We would, whoever was driving would wait in there for the other person. We would leave the kids in the car that the kids were in and switch cars so that they could be, if they had fallen asleep or whatever it was, car seats, et cetera. It was just the easiest way to do it. And we, this way, one of their actual parents pretty much always was the one that was watching them.
And we did this for forever. And it became funny because my kids would, you know, when they came home from school, we would have dinner and they'd be like, "Are we doing the switcheroo tonight?" And I said, "Yes, we are. Get in the car." So it was funny because they would be, you know, they would always say, "Oh, we're going to do the switcheroo and Dad's doing the switcheroo tonight, or are you doing the switcheroo?" So everybody that kind of was around us knew what the switcheroo was.
Lena's maiden name is Asalone. So my surname is English. So I had a ski accident and I got hurt pretty good and the kids were little. So they were announcing Pascualina English to the medical center, whatever they called it, over and over. So how old was Alexis? Like 7?
Yeah.
Right. So Alexis was the oldest. She was like 7 years old. She says, Mommy, they're announcing you.
I said, "No, they're not."
No, they're not. So my daughter, a 7-year-old, says, "Do you really think there's another Pascualina English in the whole world?" Which I thought was pretty funny for a kid to be that insightful.
I love the beach now, but I didn't really care for it. And, you know, and he really wanted to be, live no, you know, less than a few blocks from the beach. But I'll let you describe his love for the beach.
There's just something about it. When you get out of your car or walk out of your house and you smell that ocean and hear that water, it's very tranquil and peaceful. And you can work. We work very hard. No complaints. We're fine with that. But when you get home and you open that door or you're lying down, going to bed, and you hear the waves, it can wash away a lot of the day.
Now that, you know, we are, you know, beach people, my kids grew up at the beach and they love it just as much as he does and can't really, they're just home when they're at the beach. You know, they just can't imagine life without a beach, which is really nice.
So is this a vacation home or is this your permanent residence?
You know, originally it was a vacation home and then we decided to move.
We bought an investment property at the beach and then, she didn't really want to live there. It took a while to get her there, but now she doesn't want to leave, so
yeah.
It doesn't work.
Is this before or after you bought the Porsche?
No, well,
that convince her?
No, that's Lena's very not a pretentious person, whatever. And I've always loved different cars, and that's my thing. Cars and bikes, I like them. The only car that she ever really, like the only brand or type of car she ever really took notice of was always Porsche. She always said Porsche. She never said Porsche. She always said Porsche the proper way, and she was always into it. She always, that's the only, anything could drive by, that would be the only thing she noticed. So, you know, unfortunately, she had a very serious health scare that was very scary. Let's just put it that way. And then everything turned out all right. I was like, you know what? Life is short, man. This who knew what was going to happen? So I went to a car dealer, went there with the intention of buying one particular car, ended up leaving there with two Porsches. I had one, but one, I drove one back home, right? Take her outside, and what if she doesn't say, oh my God, I'm sorry. She goes, what's with that color? I couldn't believe it because that's so not her. But then she grew to love it.
Well, I said, he goes, come outside. I want you to see something. I'm like, well, whose car is that? He goes, it's yours. I'm like, no, it's not. He goes, no, it's your car. And then I said, well, what's with the color? Because it was kind of like a brownish, rusty color, which I ended up really liking it. And I kept saying, that is not my car. Are you serious? And he's like, I'm serious. You always love Porsches. And, you know, life is too short. He's like, yep, we have two.
What do you go to work for? What the hell?
Why did you want to put Bob into a song?
He has everything he wants. You know, he doesn't, like, it's really difficult to get him anything. And he's very much a sentimental person. Like, he loves, you know, memories of his children and memories of his life. And, you know, there's not anything materialistic I could give him that would mean as much to him as something like this. And, you know, when I heard you on the Truth and Justice podcast, and, you know, probably a while ago, and then I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to get him for a 31st wedding anniversary? You know, we were actually going to do a big 30th, but our daughter ended up getting married, you know, during that year. So we decided to just hold everything off for a 31st. So I said, all right, what am I going to get him that will be, you know, something very special, something that, you know, he cannot buy for himself. And I just was listening to Truth and Justice one day, and somebody had mentioned putthemintosong.com. And I started thinking, you know, I think that would be awesome. You know, I think that would be really good. And, you know, so I put it kind of on the back burner for a while. And then the more I thought of it, the more I thought, I think this is something he is going to love. And then when I contacted you, and, you know, I didn't quite know how it worked, and you made it all so very easy. And the final product was just amazing. Needless to say, it was...
it's absolutely priceless.
It was really good. You know, and then I put the pictures to it, which I thought he would really like as well.
It's a funny process, too. Like, for people that do this, for the person that receives it. The pictures are awesome. They really are. But what we did was, I ended up listening to it without the pictures to really hear the words more. And then the pictures again, because those pictures can be distracting, because when you see the picture, it strikes a memory that you already had. But when I first heard it, I was...
you just thought it was a song.
At first, at the very, very, very beginning, I thought, this is a song that existed. And then you get into it a little bit, and I'm like, wait a second. And then I'm like, there's no way that she wrote a song. Is that possible? But and I'm guessing it was, you know, the collaboration and her input, and, you know, you having a knack for picking up on what people are telling you. It really seems like she wrote it.
Yeah, she did. She really did.
Yeah. The good news is she didn't sing it. Listen, no, I couldn't love my wife more, but, you know, you got to know what you can do and what you can't.
Not a good singer. Although when I'm by myself, I think I'm pretty good.
But I can't tell the both of you and the person that sang it. You know, I appreciate it so much. And it makes me... it was very emotional, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I mean, no family's perfect, but it's pretty damn good. You know, we have a good life. We have a great family. And it really made me feel proud and happy. There's just a lot of different bullet points of our life that, you know, it stirs up a lot of memories.
Yeah, first he, like, listened to it, and he was, like, just kind of, like, listening and then seeing the pictures. And then he heard, like, the criminal side at 3 a.m., and he saw the picture with the baby, and then he started to think in his mind, and the minute he heard switcheroo, it like clicked like clockwork. And he was good. Like, did you make this song? And then from one thing to another, then he was laughing, he was crying, he was amazed.
So let me tell you something a little bit about Lena real fast. When we first knew each other, there's a million things to compliment her on or point out about her personality, but sensitive and thoughtful in giving gifts wouldn't be on that list. So our first Christmas where we're actually going to give each other gifts, I'm thinking, okay, what's she like? Well, she loves to bike. She's always cold. You know, she likes to exercise. So I get her biking shoes, road biking shoes, biking equipment, the whole nine. And then I get her a leather coat from New York Leather and all these different things. And we're exchanging gifts. She gives me a pair of socks. So basically it was confused, surprised, very emotional, laughter, proud, thankful. And damn, you come a long way from a pair of socks. If it helps somebody else experience the experience that I just had, I'd do anything for it, because that was an amazing experience.
And now, with Erica Chambers on vocals, this is Go With You.
I'm in love with a family man. I'm your girl and you're my handsome, funny guy with a criminal side, driving with a baby at 3 a.m. love.
You stand by me. I stand by you like the sky and the sea are sticking with blue. You gave me your heart, I gave you mine too. Like a highway of love, switcheroo. And oh, every time I look back and see all that you've done for me, baby, I'm 31 years of happy, 31 years more in love with you. Surprise, a key to a Porsche. We don't settle for less when we settle for more. And oh, every time I look back and see all that you've done for me, baby, I'm 31 years of happy, 31 years more in love with you, 31 years of passing.
Brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.